You are listening to episode 99 of the FitsPro podcast, and today is going to be one for trainers and trainees alike. We are discussing 5 underestimated movements. Of course, this is a completely opinionated episode. We need to keep this in mind. What I consider to be the 5 most underestimated movements will likely change in a year or two. It could change next month. I just think it's worth looking at movements and exercises that are underutilized or underestimated in the strength and conditioning world, and maybe entertain using them more. So, if that interests you, you will love today's episode. Without further ado, let's dive in. The FitsPro podcast is your no BS approach to seeking out truth in the world that is online health and fitness. You'll see through the lens of the trainer, the trainee, and the entrepreneur. I'm your host, Annie Miller, certified strength and conditioning specialist, entrepreneur, lover of sleep, lattes, and dinosaurs, aka not your average FitsPo. And my aim is to help you grow your mind, body, and business through knowledge and authenticity so that you too can become a FitsPro. Remember that you need to check the show notes as well as Annie's weekly wrap to see if you were the listener of the month or the reviewer of the week. I choose both. The listener of the month gets 50% off any non-membership program of mine, as well as a freebie from Frey Skincare, which is my favorite skincare company. I have been with them for 3 years and use their products exclusively. So if you want something from them or 50% off any non-membership program of mine, or you're just a good human, make sure that you give the show 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and leave a written review. A few people have also just, you know, shot me a message on Instagram because they use Spotify, they don't use Apple Podcasts, and just shared their love for the content that I put out here on the FitsPro podcast. So you know what? That's always welcome too. Words of affirmation never hurt anybody. So thank you all if you have done that. And make sure that you subscribe to Annie's Weekly Wrap at anniemiller.co/news if you have not yet done that. Okay. Today's episode. In 2020, this glorious year, the basics have never been more important when it comes to movement patterns. I think we've seen that across the board. And you know that I am the queen of basics and have literally always, since my online debut, preached that the basics work and the importance of the basics. They have always worked. They will always work. They also happen to be underrated from what I have seen at large in the health and fitness industry, especially in the online space. So today I plan to share with you 5 underestimated movements and why I think they are effective AF when used properly. I will tell you the 5 exercises right here, and then we will move into each one and breaking them down. Number 1 is carries. It's a farmer carry if you don't know what those are. Pull-up variations, step-ups, dead bug variations, particularly with the upper body demanding tension of some kind. We will get into that. And cyclist squats. If you don't know what a cyclist squat, you'll want to stick around till the end because I will make that clear for you and why they're so valuable. So there are many, 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 many more, but these 5, in my experience working with clients and professionals alike, are underestimated. So let's dive into each one and how you can use them in your training or with your clients, even if you're at home or without a gym in some capacity. Number 1 is carries. Oh my goodness. If you are not picking things up and walking or marching in place with them, I'm going to need you to start doing that. Okay? Carries have the potential to do so many good things for you, especially because we can load them in various positions. You can do single arm carries, overhead, single arm overhead, back rack, front rack, hugging a medicine ball with a barbell, with dumbbells, combinations of these. Truly, almost anything goes with carries. If you can pick it up and carry it, it counts as a carry in any capacity. By and large, carries strengthen your pillar. They are 4 pillar strength. They demand that you resist abdominal lateral flexion or rotation. right? If we load one side, if we load both sides, when you take a step, you will want to lean to one side. Carries demand that we don't do that, and that comes from largely our pillar strength. If you're holding them dumbbells or actual like a farmer bar of some kind, then they can also be used for grip strength as well as pillar strength. So if you're having to carry something and hold it down by your side, your grip is likely going to be challenged. And if that's a limiting factor for you, carries are a great way to increase grip strength. It is highly likely that you'll also find that carries get your heart rate up. This is something people don't think about or expect very often, but find to be true, especially if they're axial loaded, meaning that the spine is loaded. Throw some kettlebells in a front rack position and walk 100 meters. Tell me you aren't winded afterwards. You won't be able to because you'll be winded. Trust me, give it a go if you haven't. The constant demand to brace your core, breathe, and not drop the weights can be a serious challenge, one that is often underused and underestimated, which is why I am telling you here. Now, if you've done carries, you're going to be like, yeah, obviously I don't underestimate them now because I understand. But the other piece of carries, which is underestimated, is their massive carryover. Did you get the pun? That's why I laughed. Into your other lifts. Think about movement from a center out fashion, from your pillar outwards, as in everything originating from your core. Either the core is stabilizing so that your joints and limbs can effectively move around the core, or the core is the link between upper and lower body, allowing the upper and lower body to generate power as one unit. I'm hoping that you got that visual. Carries by nature have huge potential to help you gain strength and stability in your other movement patterns. I would definitely suggest carrying in some capacity once a week. If this is for a specific weakness in your training, then progress it like you would any other lift, like a squat or a deadlift, either by increasing the load or the distance carried, which would be like your volume. If you're just adding carries in for general core work and we're not trying to progress it like you would a large compound lift, then have fun and try out different variations per training phase. If you have a weakness in overhead mobility, then single arm overhead carries might be your ticket. It's completely up to you, no matter what. I am not actually your trainer, okay? But if you are able, I do suggest giving carries a go. Add them in as part of your movement prep or your warm-up, after your lift as core work, or on an active recovery day. All of that is up to you, but carries are underestimated, and I highly suggest you use them consistently, and you may be surprised, you may not be, by how your other lifts feel when you incorporate carries into your program. Next up is pull-up variations, and I said pull-up variations for a reason. I always laugh when women want toned upper bodies, and then I tell them to do pull-ups, push-ups, overhead press variations, bench press. These big compound movements are truly where you get the most bang for your buck and a well-rounded upper body musculature, in my opinion. Even if you can't do a pull-up unassisted, you should be doing some sort of vertical pulling. And while I say you should be, again, this is an opinion. I am not your trainer. You would need to consult your trainer in order to make these decisions. But this is why I said variations. I encourage people to do some level of vertical pulling, especially if they are doing any vertical pushing, because you can do assisted chin-ups, eccentric work, three-position pull-ups, wide pull-ups, neutral grip pull-ups. We have several ways to do these assisted and get solid, full range of motion vertical pulling in, and they all work your upper body slightly differently, all those variations I just listed. If you're not currently doing some kind of pull-up in your programming, and it's not because you don't have access to a pull-up bar, I would ask why. Why are you not doing vertical pulling? It's also worth pointing out that pull-ups might be one of the most incorrectly or poorly performed exercises that I personally see in the gym, and vertical pulling can have big time positive effects on your pressing. If you've never thought about that, I might challenge you to do so. Many of the muscles that you're working with pull-ups and variations of pull-ups are the same muscles either used in pressing or working as stabilizers while you press. We need to be working both pressing and pulling, but as you get stronger with pulling, you may see and feel that effect in your pressing as well. So it's just something to pay attention to, something to think about if you never have before. Next time you do pull-ups, focus on initiating the pull by keeping the arms straight, but pulling the scapula, your shoulder blades, into your back pockets and aggressively using your lats all the way from your shoulder girdle down to your low back. Think about having a big chest and pulling your big chest up to the bar. That might be a different description of pull-ups than you've heard, but I highly suggest giving it a go and see how it feels. Moving on, step-ups. These are wildly useful, effective, and of course, often underestimated. Like carries, step-ups can be done with just body weight, at various step heights, with a barbell, with dumbbells, with a kettlebell loaded by your sides, in a front rack position, in a back rack position, so on and so forth. We have a lot of options, which makes this one movement pattern very valuable to you. More often than not, a step up is closest to that of a squatting pattern. And it being a single leg exercise is winning for you. We need unilateral work. These can be truly a single leg exercise, or they can have some help from the back leg, and that is dependent on your programming and the execution of the exercise. Neither is better or worse, you know, trying to do it fully via one leg or having a push off from the back leg. It just totally depends on the goal and the programming. I just wanted to note that. I love step ups because they reveal and can quickly correct left to right leg strength discrepancies when loaded properly. You'll find them all over Built by Annie in my one-on-one programming with high box step-ups, lateral step-ups, normal step-ups, front rack step-ups, all of the step-ups, especially for at-home programming. Doing a body weight step-up with the strict eccentric tempo is so effective and can be so effective for both strength and mobility. I like to use a step that is at least to the height of your kneecap, and this just ensures that the hip crease is starting below the knee crease or the top of the knee in the leg that is working. So it's just like it would be at the bottom of a squat. That's what I am trying to achieve here. Again, that would be completely dependent on your programming and your goals. You can drive the knee forward with a positive shin angle on that working leg to further mimic a squat, or you can keep a more vertical shin. Keeping a vertical shin is going to be easier from a low box and with a lateral step up position. So with the box or the bench to your side and using a lower box rather than a higher box. So yes, you can also do lateral step ups like I mentioned, which of course I particularly like using these with a very heavy eccentric and controlling that lowering portion like I talked about with at home or when you are using body weight. Do the step ups. Get the gains. You're working your quads, your hamstrings, your glutes, all of it. And if you are driving that knee forward, you are also likely working some of that ankle mobility. They're just great. If you don't do step ups, give them a go, put them in your accessory work and see how you feel. Number four is dead bugs. Dead bugs are the absolute tits of core work. Okay. And if you think dead bugs are easy, I have news for you. You're probably not doing them right. Did you get that? My personal favorite dead bug variations are wall dead bugs with your hands pressing back into the wall at like about a 90 degree angle as your legs alternate like a normal dead bug. And then my other variation that I love is with a mini band around your forearms with your hands up to the ceiling. So you're laying on your back, your hands are up to the ceiling, you have a mini band around your forearms, and you're pulling out against the mini band with your arms. This engages the lats, the mid-back, all that good action. So a dead bug is simply laying on your back. For those of you that don't know, you're laying on your back, you start with your hands up to the ceiling, your back pressed into the floor, and your legs up at 90 degrees with your shins towards the ceiling. And then one leg extends and drops towards the floor. So it extends out and straightens, drops towards the floor. And then the other one stays up and you basically just alternate your legs. There are tons of variations of this, and the variations largely come from what the arms are doing in conjunction with the legs. You have opposite arm dropping back towards the floor with shoulder flexion. The same arm can drop towards the floor behind you. Your arms can stay put. They can pull on a band. Like I said, they can press into a wall. You can do a lot of different things. Like I said, the variation comes from what the arms are doing. And dead bugs are for your core, like I said, end of story. They are simple and difficult and will likely lead to better core awareness as well as breathing into a braced core, and just the function in your main lifts like squats, deadlifts, pressing, all of that. I really think that dead bugs have a lot of positive carryover into several different areas beyond just, you know, strengthening your core. Like I said, your core awareness and what your other lifts may feel like are just two ways that dead bugs are underestimated and I think have just so many positive carryovers. So I suggest adding these as a part of your warm-up and or your post-lift accessory work. It is hard to do too many dead bugs. In fact, I don't know that that is even possible. So don't worry about doing too many of these. And that's it, I think, for dead bugs. They're amazing, they're simple, they're controlled, they're challenging. I suggest that you do them. Last but not least, and kind of just for fun, is the cyclist squat. I used to poo-poo on these very much so because I saw them as cheating for those who lacked ankle dorsiflexion. Now, years later, I love them. I use them. I program them for myself. I program them for many of my clients. And as a little side note, if you're a movement elitist like I used to be, I encourage you to start looking at movements for the specific purpose they might serve within a program for a client. What context is it being used in? Just like foods, right? People often label foods good or bad versus just looking at food, as neutral. Look at movement as just movement first, then ask questions and look for context, okay? I only say that because I thought, you know, with kind of elitist, like, why would anyone ever do that? That's just cheating in a squat. This is the movement elitist, okay? Who thinks everybody needs to move the same way? Who thinks there's one way to do things? Let's not. Let's open up our minds. Okay, cyclist squats. These are called a multitude of things, I am sure. So what I am talking about is heel elevated narrow stance squats. I am sure you have seen these on the gram in some capacity. They are often loaded in a goblet position. So that is a dumbbell or a kettlebell at your chest. Though I have seen world record holder Steffi Cohen do them in a standard high rack or high bar back squat position as well. So you can load them in many ways, but what I am referring to specifically is loaded in the goblet position with your heels elevated either on a plate or a aerobic step or elevated in some way with a narrow stance, feet together or inside the shoulders for sure. You want to make sure that you're elevating your heels and the way that you're doing that is safe and sturdy. The knees drive well over the toes and the chest largely stays upright. This is where we get that quad burn and demand on the quads. These are a functional quad extension with, yes, some hip flexion, obviously. I suggest using a slow tempo down, keeping a constant tension and tell me that your quads are not actually on fire. That is why I think these are so underestimated. You squat far more weight than you'd use with cyclist squats, but it's the position that gets you in this movement. The narrow stance is different. The elevated heels are different. The knees driving way over the toes is different, and that's a new stimulus, and that stimulus is real. And the slower tempo can also tend to get you in the cardio department as well, especially if you're loading these with weight. So basically everything is just burning and it's great. If you haven't tried them, I suggest that you do. I will also note that I wouldn't necessarily give these to someone with meniscus or cartilage issues unless they felt fine doing them and you had clearance from their doctors. I just wanted to make that note as well. All right, I think that's it. Those are my five underestimated movements for now. I am sure, again, like I said at the beginning of this episode, that that will change with time, but it was a fun one to list off heading into the new year. I know that a lot of people had experiences working out at home, and I really found that the basics still are the all-time goat when it comes to movement, building strength, building movement patterns, and building a balanced physique. So maybe you're just starting a new program or ramping up for a new phase. Hopefully you either use some of these or you think about what I mentioned here when you see them in your programming. If you love this episode, please head over to iTunes and give the show 5 stars, leave a written review. Remember that I also choose a reviewer of the week and a listener of the month, and that listener of the month receives 50% off any non-membership program of mine, as well as a freebie from Frey Skincare. If you are not on my main mailing list, Annie's Weekly Wrap, make sure that you are, because you are missing out on exclusive listener discounts if you're not there. So subscribe at anniemiller.co/news. Until next time, I am Annie Miller, and thank you so much for tuning into the FitzPro podcast.